That I just thought, man, I literally just almost died.
This day just had that feel like every wave coming in was the wave of the day.
It was like a glass ceiling that was just shattered. And the next thing you know, it was like 10 levels up. Like, this is the experience I've been waiting my whole life for.
You got a pretty cool story, and you know, I know some people know about it, but I'd like to go back to the start, you know, like how, you know, where your parents, you know, are from, where you were born, and then like sort of just leading up to, because I did a little bit of history, and it looks like, you know, you got your parents to move to Hawaii, but let's take us through where you were born, and you know, I'm guessing you probably played soccer, you know, growing up and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I definitely had a different way of growing up compared to my Maui boys in Hawaii. And yeah, I was born in New York, Manhattan. My mom's from New York, and my dad's from Sardinia, Italy. So I was born in New York, and then I grew up in Sardinia till I was 14 years old. And in those years, I was playing soccer. I was actually in the team in the younger division of one of the best soccer teams here in Cagliari that represent in the Serie A league, Sardinia. So I was, you know, my career was going in that direction as a soccer player. And then I just fell in love with the water, the waves and the wind, and started windsurfing, a bit of surfing. And then once that started and this passion started growing, I told my, my teammates and everybody that I wanted to pursue more my water sports career or passion anyway. And then from there, me and my brother were hooked. My brother Niccolo, he's a 1.5 year younger than me, so we definitely been like, you know, young crazy kids in countryside here in Sardinia. And I think those first bombing hills, skateboarding with like, you know, graveled roads and dust kind of just set us up for some bigger rides later in life. And and so, me and my brother looked at each other and said, hey, if we want to, you know, pursue this passion and this career, we need to move to Hawaii. You know, that's the place, that's the mecca of all these water sports. And luckily enough, my dad has been a journalist for windsurfing for 20 plus years, and been to Maui many times. And it was natural for him to say, hey, you know what? Yeah, let's do a change. I got two younger sisters, Julia and Gaia, and it was a good way for them to, you know, speak English and learn and go to school there. And because we grew up speaking Italian and English with my grandparents living in New York and on my mom's side. So it was a good call. We actually had to get my mom to, after a couple months, she's like thinking about it. And then she's like, okay, yeah, let's do it. Let's move to Hawaii. And sure enough, then we started, I started windsurfing a lot at Hokipa. And Niccolo started kiteboarding and became prodigy in kiteboarding. And I was in between that, like windsurfing and surfing, but I had my windsurfing sponsors that were paying me to travel. And then as I was growing up, I was like surfing more and more and bigger waves. And I was like, you know, my passion and my love was for surfing. And I had to tell my sponsors, you know, I want to pursue big wave surfing and travel the world to surf and not to windsurf.
What was it like growing up? What was it like growing up in Sardinia? I mean, and were you born, was being born in New York a plan to have the U.S. citizenship, or was it just that's just where you guys were when your mom was going to give birth? Or
no, I think that was a plan. As we spent time in New York, like the summer times, and my grandparents are super close. We like, you know, we were born in the U.S. and it's a really good thing to travel around the world and having two passports and you know, dual citizenship. Nowadays, it's a good thing to have. So it was definitely planned, And a way to like go back and spend time with my grandparents and all my mom's side, the family.
What was Maui's it like growing up? What was it like growing up in Sardinia? Like I'm sure it's back then, like 25 years ago, whatever it was, I'm sure it was a lot smaller than it was now. What was it like growing up when you were 6-7 years old, you know, going to school and playing soccer, and obviously it's surrounded by water. What was a general sort of day in the life of Francisco?
It was really connected to the elements, you know, the wind and you know, the water, and we were just like 5 minutes away from the sea. And so I had a little moped, like just go down, get a little session in, get in the water, and then after school, and then go to soccer practice. And that was like my routine, and skateboarding. And me and my brother actually, when we were skateboarding, we put straps on the skateboard, and we were getting like towed behind like my dad's tricycle. And we were like going up these hills and going down these hills and doing like big ollies with straps. And we were like looking at these guys in Hawaii doing this on big waves. And it was kind of like, man, you know what? We're going to like train, and one day we're going to like do that too. And I think compared to now, it was a real blessing to be in the countryside and being, you know, connected to, you know, water or, you know, the mountain or valleys, whatever, and just playing outside. I noticed that nowadays, a lot of kids, the new generations, they're maybe not as prone to like play outside, and they're maybe on their phone or tablets. So I think it was definitely a good way to grow up and just, you know, play with the elements and really enjoy nature. That was a good blessing for sure.
And what's the scene like? What is the water sport scene like in Sardinia? I'm guessing, like you said, there's probably a lot of wind sports. It gets a lot of wind there. And I'm guessing there's waves as well. So give us a rundown of what it's like living on Sardinia with wind and waves.
For sure. No, it's a beautiful place. I mean, crystal clear water, unreal places, beaches, and mistral wind comes down pretty often. So it'll create winds. It's this wind that comes from the north. And it just creates waves, and there's wind. So you can go kiteboarding, you can go windsurfing, you can go surfing. And actually the community of all these water sports has been growing exponentially. Like, I mean, since I came back in 2018, I've been blown away at how many people are in the water surfing and kiteboarding and windsurfing. But definitely the surfing world has been picking up big time. Since back then, it was like, you know, you would just surf with maybe like 5-6 guys. And now it's like people are out there surfing for hours, and there's like 40 people in the water. You're like, whoa, is this Hawaii or is this Sardinia? You know, it's like, it's definitely a good place to just do water sports. And then of course, soccer and those sports are like the main sports. But I feel like we've been with Leo and other surfers, we've been like really bringing surfing and water sports a lot into people's homes. And kids are pumped to get in the water. That's why it's been a blessing to live that lifestyle, and now enjoying seeing everybody in the water having fun.
Yeah. And then you said your dad was a journalist for windsurfing, but was he a surfer, windsurfer himself? Is that how you guys sort of got into it?
Yeah, he was a windsurfer. He was actually more in the windsurfing side of things, and for me it was like I was windsurfing, and then as I started surfing, it just grew on me more and more. And when I was in Maui, I was like I said, I was traveling around the world, and I was windsurfing for the mags and for, you know, videos and stuff. But as soon as I had a chance, I would be surfing and getting barreled, and just that sensation was what really my passion and what I was hooked on. And, you know, I had a great time windsurfing, but getting inside the barrel was something that, you know, I couldn't do windsurfing, and it was just such a good feeling. And so I kind of like told my dad too, you know, I'm going to change my career and you know, stick to surfing and big wave surfing. And of course there in Maui, it's like a stepping, you know, you're slowly riding bigger and bigger waves. You know, you go from bigger waves to outer reefs to then out from outer reefs to Jaws. And it was just a buildup throughout the years. And I was in a like a time where big wave surfing was having that switch from towing big waves to paddling in. So that time at Jaws, when I was following the Brazilian guys that started to paddle Jaws a bit more, you know, Danilo and Yuri and Marcio, those guys were like starting to paddle when we were towing. And then as soon as I seen that happening, I was like, you know, this is interesting. I want to try that. And then I got a board, actually a Mavericks board that Mike Neal, a photographer, you know, let me buy from him for like $200. And I got out there, and the first wave that I got out at Peahi paddling in, no leash, I made this drop and just straightened out, and pretty steep drop, straightened out. And just that feeling right there was like way better than, you know, 20 toe-in waves that were like, you know, same size or whatever. So I was just hooked right there and then. And then sure enough, the next winter came by, and that session with Sian Miloski, Shane Dorian, you know, all the boys, it was just like that switch. And I was right there, you know, this Italian boy, just, you know, seeing all his like idols in the water and being one of them. And you know, I'll never forget Sion coming over, and I was like, "What's up, Sion?" And everybody was so like concentrated on getting the waves, and Sion was like smiling and like, yeah, like having such a good time. And he came over from Oahu with Nathan Fletcher. And sure enough, that was the last time I seen him, actually. So it was a special day, and I got a couple waves, and the guys really showed how the sport, you know, could just be, you know, changing the game with paddling in. And it was a session I'll never forget. And it was a session where I felt, okay, you know what, maybe some people could be scared. And there is, you know, there is some fear, of course. But I felt like, you know, I was meant to be in that place at that time. And that was just like, oh, this is my passion. This is what I want to do. I want to get better at this. And that's how it went, you know, and, you know, 15 years down the line, or 10 years, 12 years, I'm not sure. But it was,
what was it like, you know, when you first moved to Maui, you know, like, what was it like when you, you know, getting there, you know, trying to insert yourself into the lineup, getting used to all the boys, and then just, I mean, and when was that? I know you talked about that shift there, but, you know, I'm sure you guys brought a jet ski probably together, you and your brother, and you started, you know, towing in, doing some stuff. But what was that whole process like, you know, like moving from Sardinia to Hawaii? And then, you know, because, you know, everyone's like, it's like, oh, everyone wants to surf big waves, or everyone wants to be a waterman, you know, but it's got to be a tough transition, you know, coming from a little island in Sardinia to Maui, you know?
For sure. No, yeah, it was definitely a big change, but was ready for it. And I went to school. I went to Kinkei Kaleike school upcountry. And that was just like getting integrated and meeting everybody and you know, becoming friends with everybody. That was like the first step to really feel the Maui vibe. And, you know, I was 14 years old. And so from that, then I did a couple years in school, and then I got my GED with Clay Marzo, because we were like traveling and stuff. And as soon as I got my GED, I had more time to travel and focus on my career. And I just remember going from Hokipa to, you know, Honolulu Bay and these small waves, I mean, smaller waves, and getting, you know, getting used to that. And luckily I had some friends from just going to school and from my parents' friends. And yeah, it was, you know, it was a good thing that I was speaking English and Italian. It was a fun time. We had a lot of fun when we were young, and sure enough, I had to, like, you know, show everybody that I was confident to ride waves and show them that I can ride bigger waves. And then I'll never forget, we got a jet ski with a couple of my buddies, Zach Sato. It wasn't actually with my brother. It was with a couple of friends that I went to school with. And my brother was actually kiteboarding, and he was like prodigy kiteboarding, and he was in his world. And actually, he didn't really want me to go kiteboarding. I was like, yeah, I'll stick to surfing and windsurfing. we got a jet ski all together, and we went out. I'll never forget this swell. That was like January 4th. It was like a huge swell in 2008 or 2007. And we went out with the jet ski to the secret spot on the east side of Maui. And that was our first toe in waves. And we got barreled. We got like some sick lines. And that was, yeah, the beginning of towing for me. I think I was like 18. I was like 18 years old. And yeah, you know, I started a bit late compared to the other guys, but still, like, you know, focusing on what I had dreamed of, and everything was slowly getting there, you know, from my skills to the possibilities and connections and friendships. And yeah, sure enough, then from Sprex, from Outer Sprex, then I went to Jaws, to Peahi. And then since then, it's been a chase all my life of trying to get the right ways. I mean, you know what I mean?
What was his, I was going to say, like, is it good, like, for any young kids coming up, especially from, you know, other countries that aren't so, you know, surf crazy, you know, like, what was it like to, you know, were your parents supportive of you trying to chase this dream? Because, you know, at big wave surfing's never really had a ton of money involved in it, you know, so it's like, how do you tell your parents, I want to do this, but I'm gonna have to travel and do all this, spend all this money to try and chase this dream that's it sort of seems unattainable, you know? And then, you know, did you get some sponsors along the way to help? How was that in those early years trying to chase that dream of being a professional big wave surfer?
I definitely struggled to travel around, and, you know, I did put a lot of my money into traveling. It was my way of investing in my career. And I think it needs to start from just your passion and love of the sport, and just being in the elements and being in these situations where the ocean is raw and powerful. So you first got to see if you're built for that, you know, mentally and physically. And then as soon as, you know, you start training, you're getting better and better. I think a good way of getting better is going to places where you can learn from other people that are already at the top, and being in those places where you can put in your time and really practice in that sport. And it was definitely hard. I mean, I did have some sponsors, but they've been there wasn't much money. Like, I definitely was working on side jobs and you know, doing other work to fund my passion And I remember my mom was like, "Are you sure you want to keep on doing this? Like, are you looking at, you know, future? Like, how are you gonna like live, you know?" And my brother was like, "You know, you gotta just believe in him. He's gonna like at some point he's gonna like make some like big results or like, you know, win something." Or and my dad believed in me. I think they didn't really support me financially. They gave me that chance to like go to Hawaii, which is huge at 14 years old. But then they moved back to Italy, to Sardinia, and me and my brother stayed out in Hawaii, living on our own. And you know, we were pretty I would say me and my brother from when we were young, we were on our own, like from little sponsors that were, you know, giving us the possibility to, you know, chase our dreams. We were just right away at 15, we were out of the house. I was with my girlfriend and living with my girlfriend. And then my brother was like living somewhere else, and then we would come home. So I think you have to be ready to like be on your own and chase your dreams. You can't always rely on your parents. And so, you know, we didn't come from a family that had a backing that could, you know, say, "Hey, you know, we're going to let you do this and try this, try that." We were like, "Okay, we want to do this and we're going to do it. And, you know, either you guys like it or not, we're going to do this, you know?" And I think, like I said, it's all about enjoying the process and just really enjoying nature. And that's how everything then came, you know. Then when I won that XXL wave, that just snowballed into all kinds of different possibilities.
Yeah.
But I was there, like, you know, I would get in the final and I would never win, or I would get some like, you know, pretty big waves, or and I would never get to the point where I could win some money or anything. And that was like for, you know, 8 to 9,
yeah,
almost 10 years. And then finally, you know, things started happening. And there's a bit of luck. There's a bit of everything. But consistency, I think, is what will bring you to the results. And that's how it is, I think. In all sports and all sides of life is, you know, you put in your time and some results can come right away and your life can be easier right away, or you can be working for it for many years and then finally like something happens that
Well, who was some of you, like who did you look up to growing up? You know, obviously moving to Maui, there's lots of insane, you know, big wave surfers, watermen, waterwomen over there. So who were some of the people that you looked up to and inspired to be like?
I was inspired by Shane Doran a lot since I was young, and Shane has been like, you know, those years of pushing the limits of big wave surfing, and, you know, from towing big chokes to, you know, paddling to jaws or mavs. Or Shane was definitely a guy that I looked up to, and just humble, like I just loved his way of, you know, staying humble but showing. His John Florence is another example, like somebody that's like stays humble and just shows his
but there are alpha male in the water, you know.
Yeah,
that's what I would say with Shane, is that, you know, he's mellow, super this and that, but then, you know, when he sees what he wants in the water and he goes for it, there's nothing stopping him, and it's just like get out of the way, I'm coming through, you know. And you sense that vibe and you sort of just, you know, there's been a lot of times where I've been, it's crazy. There's some sessions where you're just right next to someone on a ton of waves, like that El Nino year. Like there was like 4 or 5 waves where if he wasn't on it, I was on it, but he was just in a better spot always, you know, like just from experience. But that guy is just so good. And I saw some like spots where I'm like, oh my God, like he's not going to get this. And then he just manhandles it and just puts his front foot down and like just and will just stick that thing, just such so committed, it's unbelievable. And
I was he was like the guy that I was like, wow, you know, I want to be like him one day, like, or I'm definitely like feeding off his energy of, yeah, like you said, when he's in the water and he's on, there's like nobody stopping him, like deeper than everybody, just fully committed on his 10-0 rhino chaser, just and then at the same time, then he would, you know, he would show like, you know, some, he would give me some props. Like, I'll never forget, like, he posted like a shot of me doing like a super steep drop backside at Jaws, and he was like giving me props for like riding backside, and you know, that was such a boost for me that it was better than winning an event, or like, you know, somebody that I looked up for so many years giving me props. It was like, okay, I'm on the right, you know, I'm on the right side of things, and yeah. Thank you, Shane, for that, and for just pushing the limits of big wave surfing.
Yeah, he sure has been a great role model for a lot of people, and
even like all around, you know, all around, he's like good on short, on small waves, you know, like, and I think I'm more of I like to enjoy the elements more than anything. Like, I just love the power of nature and just being there and just, you know, riding and being one with nature. But you know, there's so many possibilities in life that you know, I wanted to try, like, you know, skydiving, and I'm like on a wingsuit, or, you know, just cliff diving, or just all different sides of life, you know, in the air, water, and mountains. I went to like Alaska snowboarding. So I like to change it up and feel, you know, these different sports that at some point, you know, there's some ways to like learn from some other sports. Yeah, you know, sometimes I think like I could be focusing only on one thing, but life is too short to not, you know, explore and feel other sensations and visuals and
have you had that? I mean, I was gonna say, because I know you have done the all the wingsuits and all that crazy shit I'd never do, but have you always, you know, have you always had that little, you know, that little switch in your head, you know, like the crazy kid, you know? I can imagine there goes the Pacella brothers again, those kids are crazy, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure that was like growing up.
We definitely, when we were really young, me and my brother, they would call us the hooligans, because we were like show up at people's houses and like friends, and we like climb things and like, you know, just like get on trees, and people are like, oh, you're not scared. And then like my parents are like, nah, it's all right. They'll learn, you know, they'll learn. So we had, which is important if you're trying to, you know, pursue that kind of like extreme sports, is having parents that will let you, you know, live and try things. Of course, like controlling a bit, you know, your risk assessment, but like not being like too like scared and saying like, no, you can't do this, or like, no, be careful with that. You know, like it's important to have parents that when you're young and you're like experiencing, they give you the chance to like try things. And yeah, sometimes you get hurt, but like sometimes you learn the right way instead of always being scared of it.
Yeah. And what have you taken from the snowboarding, the cliff diving, the wingsuit and stuff? I mean, does jumping out of a plane make surfing big waves easy or easier, or does paddling out the Maverick still scare the shit out of you more than jumping out of an airplane with a wingsuit? You know what I mean? That's a cool thing that I haven't experienced. Yeah. That's you know, what's that like?
Oh yeah, no, Mavericks, surfing Mavs or surfing some big heavy waves is scarier than jumping out of a plane with a wingsuit. Then if you're talking about mountains and stuff and doing base, that's another thing. But I think what you can bring from doing these other sports is, you know, you're trained physically, but mentally, you're training yourself to say, okay, here I'm like concentrated 110%. There's nothing else. this is my 30 seconds, a minute, whatever, that I'm going to give it my all, and I got to be concentrated on every little thing. And snowboarding as well, like Alaska, when I went heliboarding or when I go big mountains, you're like, you know, keeping your speed, you're looking at every little dip and every little thing that translates into big wave surfing. You're going super fast and you're looking at what the wave is doing, how it's morphing and what's it going to do. And you're reading all of it. And, you know, every second is like super important. Or half
yeah,
a second.
It seems like those moments in time, whether you're letting go of the rope at Chopu and you've got 10 seconds to just do everything 100% right, or you're jumping out of a plane or whatever it may be, you're about to, you know, go into the big half pipe skating, you know, it's that flow state for like that whatever amount of time it is, and just being so in tune and connected that you actually do it well.
Yeah, exactly. And building and training your mind to, you know, tap everything out and just being in that moment, super concentrated. And like you said, in that flow state, the more you like spend time getting into that flow state, the more you can just tap into it, you know, at certain times. And big wave surfing is like that, you know, actually, sometimes big wave surfing, you're waiting for the waves and you're kind of, you know, spending time waiting for the waves. But as soon as the wave comes and you're fully committed, you know, there's no distractions. There's no like holding back. You know, if you're going, you're going. And I think that's important to like, you know, catch those big waves, or saying, yeah, I'm going to go on this wave towing wise, or it's those split second decisions at the end that are the ones that could change your life, you know, or you could have the ride of your life. So I'm still looking at, you know, getting some waves that I've been like dreaming of for so many years. But I think that's the process of chasing all these waves in these places around the world and learning so much. It's a learning curve all your life. You know, there's so much. Like, I never came in from a session like, I had that. Like, I always learn what I can change or what I can get better at and what mistakes I did, and kind of assess my session. And I think that's what big wave surfing is, just unreal for that. It's you're always learning, but it's such a good feeling when you get a good wave, and friendships too. I mean, I think another beautiful thing about big wave surfing or chasing these waves around the world is the friendships that you build throughout the years, and being able to feel at home in another side of the world. And, you know, you show up and your friend is like, yeah, let's go, and shows you all the secret spots or like the most amazing spots. And same thing is when they come to my place or my home, it's this like sharing of knowledge of places that I cherish. Yeah.
No, I remember like a perfect example of that is, I remember when I was lucky enough to win Nazaré and you were there and Karen picked me up and chaired me up the beach, and, you know, all the boys are, you know, spraying with Corona and stuff, you know, and like, that's just a certain thing, you know, like I could, you know, you could tell that people were genuinely stoked, stoked for me, you know, and as I would be for someone else, you know, if they had won. Yeah. And, you know, 'cause it's tough, right? Because we don't get many opportunities, you know, and, you know, like even with like the Jaws contest, you know, I know that you've been in that a few years, but, you know, even just to get into that contest is such a tough gig. And then you get in and you don't do well for a few years, then you might fall off and, you know, someone else jumps in, then you don't have it for a year. And it's a rough go. What was that like for you? Because I know that's sort of how that transpired for you. You know, you finally got in, and I think there was a few years where you just like didn't get out of the heat. Yeah. And it's frustrating because you just want to do well to get to the next event and then maybe get on tour for the whole year so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a hard one to swallow, because you would, you know, for example, one year, like I didn't do good. I didn't get out of my heat, And I was so pissed. And the next morning the contest was going, and I was like crack of dawn out there, like, I want to get my wave. And actually I got a sick barrel right before the contest started. And it was like, yeah, you know, I'm not in the comp, but you know, I'm hungry and I want it and I want to be here. And I know that I can do it. But yeah, in that time frame, you know, things can not go your way, or you can be super close. And if you don't really win it, you're not going to make it sometimes. So it was, it is a hard sport to like really build up your confidence. But I think we get back to putting in your time and really showing that you want to do it, traveling around the world, you know, chasing swells and putting performances around the world and not only one wave. I think that's what has been like a help for me, is being able to like practice in different waves as well. But you know, Peahi is yeah, my home spot. It'll always yeah be. I feel like, you know, I feel good out at Jaws, and I want to keep on dreaming of that, you know, perfect ride or, you know, big barrel or, you know, winning a contest out there. Like I still have those dreams in me, and I believe that I can do it. And it's hard though, because, you got to keep your head up when there's moments that you're like bummed on yourself that you didn't yeah get that result.
I think it just goes to show for any young kid or young girl, young guy that wants to be a big wave surfer and potentially, you know, get in events and chase swells, is that you just have to be very resilient. You have yeah to, you know, you have to have thick skin. You have to be resilient. You have to be willing to sacrifice a lot, you know, like whether it's money, savings, you know, family, birthdays, yeah, you know, yeah, you know, all that sort yeah of stuff, sure, you know, and you have to yeah just keep turning up, because you do eventually see the people that do keep showing up, do eventually get their moment to shine, you know, and yeah like you did yeah when you got the double XL award for that wave yeah in Nazaré, you know, and that was your moment. And to be honest, like, if yeah we're going to fast forward to someone that's career has just gone ups and downs, sideways, backwards and forwards, you know, like from all those tribulations and trials and tribulations that we just spoke about to winning, you know, cause I think that you won the same year. It was at the Huntington Beach, right? It was like 2015, yep, I think. Yeah. Right. So
no, it was 2017.
17, that's right, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. And then, I was in Portugal. We'd gone out that morning with Garrett, and it was so yeah radical, and we're coming in, and then you guys were going out, and we're like, oh, man, it's crazy out there. And so we come in and had some breakfast. We actually went back up to the hill and posted up, and as I was walking over the hill, I saw you get that wave, and I was like, oh, man. Like, and then there was a couple other big waves out there that day too, but obviously I was just like, wow, that thing just may have won the double XL award, you know, and we didn't know who it was at the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you know, it ended up being you, and you won that, won some cash. And then yeah I think what's really interesting for Annie is like, yeah, it's like you got that, you got on tour, and then you made a shift. And I don't know, you can tell us how that happened, but you decided to, I think, put your time and energy into going back home to Italy, back to Sardinia, and then trying to, you know, represent Italy, look at sponsors from over there. So how from winning the biggest wave award, because I know when you went back there, that's, you got started to get a lot of attention. So take yeah us through, yeah, you know, from winning that award, the opportunities, and why you have sort of transitioned into basing yourself back in Italy for the time being.
Yeah, it was a blessing. Yeah, because as I won biggest wave of the year, I was, you know, as a finalist in the five ride of the years, and I got a performance of the year. I got like, I think, third or fourth behind you, and that was like, I got on tour the next year, and it was a big moment that I did chase a lot of swells. Like, I went to Australia, Chile. I went to a lot of places before that wave in Nazaré. So I felt like I did put a lot of time chasing big swells, and I got rewarded with that wave, Nazre. And, you know, I actually can't thank enough Ashi Munyan that believed with me. Yeah, Axie was like, you know, we're going to get some big waves today. And we believed it. And we went out and stayed out, you know, pretty much almost all day. And it was pretty hardcore. But, you know, you got to get out of your comfort zone, and you got to put in your time. And then from there, it really did snowball into going on TV shows, big TV shows. And then from those TV shows, I did some like
Dancing with the Stars. Did you do like a Dancing with
the Stars? Yeah, I did Dancing with the Stars. That, like, you know, it was like good money and a good like possibility for me to bring our world of like surfing into the mainstream here in Italy. And you know, it was like a couple months, and there too was just like getting out of my comfort zone. You know, I knew what I could do in big wave surfing, but this was like a possibility to that you only get once, you know, and you can only do it once. And I, you know, I had good manager that picked up this TV show, and sure enough, that was like a pretty crazy experience, because I didn't know how to dance. And there I was like learning how to dance, and every Saturday night I was going live with, you know, like 4 million people watching me dance. So I was like, okay, you know, let's go with the flow, you know, let's ride this wave. And you know, after that, you know, I did another traveling TV show all through Africa. And that was another amazing experience. Pekino Express, this was another thing that like opened my mind, you know, and after that, it just really snowballed into sponsors wanting to do, you know, commercials or you know, sponsor me. And it was a good time to be in Italy and you know, take advantage of that. And so that's why I was like, okay, I can just spend my time in Maui and Hawaii, like those winter months that are important, and then spend the rest of the time here. And you know, traveling around here. And I think that was a really good decision in the sense of, you know, having a bit of money to, you know, buy a house or you know, put some money aside. Because with big wave surfing, yeah, I did win some money, but it was kind of like getting the money back from all the travel money and being able to travel again. So, and then from that, I figured, you know, I'm here. Sardinia is like pretty close to all the spots in Europe, and why not spend time here and chase swells from here? And it was a good thing, you know, like I can be in Nazre in like 5 hours, and if I get the right connection. But it was a good change and a good way to show all the Sardinian and Italian people myself, because I was always gone and away, and they would always see just news of me doing things. But just being here and just being around people stoked and like feeding off this like energy, it was good for me. And now I got my girl over here, and I'm definitely happy to spend time. And I'm close to my grandparents. It's like, I did have a bunch of friends over here that I didn't spend much time while I was gone for so many years. And it was good, you know, it was a good change. You know, I love Maui, and it'll always be, you know, my home. I mean, I feel like a Maui boy when I go back. You know, nothing has changed, or, you know, little things has changed. But being able to bring that lifestyle and that way of living here in Sardinia has been good for me, and I want to keep doing that. Maybe spend a bit more time in Maui this next winter. I only did like 2.5 months, but I went to Mavs a couple times this winter, and you gotta be ready at the same time. Like I sometimes I get so many jobs over here that I'm like, yeah, like I'm doing good, but like I still want to, you know, be like riding big waves and chasing my dreams, and so now it's like act of like choosing the right jobs and you know, saying, you know, I gotta go. And
be careful what you wish. Be careful what you wish for, mate.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
but it's exactly. It's awesome. I applaud you, man, because it's very easy to get stuck doing the same thing. You know, thinking it's gonna happen. Yep, it's gonna keep happening. But to get an opportunity and to get outside your comfort zone again, to move to Sardinia, which you would just go, that's great. Like, why am I going to move there from a big wave surfer? But you know, to get those opportunities,
well, you do
to get the
here,
backing.
Yeah.
You know, but you know what I mean? Like it's, you took that opportunity. Yeah. Now you're making some good money. You've got, you know, you've got a future and you've set yourself up to now where you can pick and choose and you can get back to chasing swells and do what you love to do, you know, but building a foundation, you know, which.
Yeah, exactly. You know, being a bit more like easy on like, you know, am I going to make it in the next month? Like, you know, I got a bit more secure, like just a lot easier mental, like not stressing so much. And then at the same time, I've been seeing so many kids wanting to get into water sports and, you know, from surfing to kiteboarding and I was like, okay, now is the time for me to give back to the kids, the newer generation that want to get into this. Like now I want to, you know, I just did a school and like association with like, you know, water sports, you know, teaching water sports and teaching like mental and physical preparation for, you know, if it can be big wave surfing or any other sports, it can be a buildup of learning and tools and just pretty much having fun in nature and getting them connected back into the elements and instead of like staying at home on their phone, you know, or just playing video games. So I think it's all coming around and I feel so good when kids are having fun in the water and I brought them and I gave them that possibility and their smile is something that's really satisfying that I'm learning to enjoy that and wanting to bring that more and more and having an event or whatever it is. But I feel like, you know, what I've learned and what the ocean has given me all these years, I'm now starting to like give it back to the newer generation. That's how the cycle goes. And I'm stoked.
It feels
I'm
good.
Really stoked.
Feels good to, yeah, feels feels good really to give good. Back, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So sure. what's the next 5 years look like for Francisco? If you sort of just sit back and go, sounds like you're still hungry, you know, hungry to chase swells and, you know, if we ever get back to having events again, all that sort of stuff. But, you know, where do you see yourself? You know, like how old are you now?
I'm 34, almost 35.
34. So you're in the prime. You're in the prime, and you're fit and healthy. So
I'm my goal is still it hasn't changed. You know, I would love to, you know, win a ride of the year or get some really special waves under my belt and, you know, chasing is pretty much being at the right place at the right time. So really, you know, looking at swells and what they're doing and what, where I can go. And there's a lot of waves that I really want to get good, that are just firing and what they're doing is like the top notch. So it's still chasing swells and, enjoying nature, enjoying the ocean and giving a good input for the newer generations of like, you know, let's learn how to like be more eco-friendly on our ways of living and, you know, learning different ways of, you know, having a smaller footprint in this world and living a simple life, but at the same time being able to say, okay, I'm going to be there in 2 days and it's going to be huge and ready for it. So I definitely want to still compete. I still want to, you know, put in some great performances around the world and just, you know, living life to the max, you know?
Yeah, so man.
It's pretty much, like I don't have much money. Yeah, I don't have much money, but I think my richness is those experiences and those views that Mother Nature gives us, and that commitment that we have will bring us to enjoy and live our dreams.
For sure. One last thing. What would you say to a young kid that is growing up like yourself in Sardinia or any other sort of place like that that has big dreams? What would be your advice? What would be advice to him or her?
My advice would be, learn how to get out of your comfort zone, because that's what's then going to bring you into some life-changing experiences and feelings that only those kind of sports or moments in nature can bring you. And I think getting reconnected to nature, that's something that's really important and that's going to bring you a lot of joy is, there's all this digital world. There's all this system that wants you to do certain things, but getting out in nature and enjoying and having fun, that's the most important thing, is enjoying your time and enjoying the process. And yeah, have big goals, big dreams. Believe in yourself, but learn every step of the way and have fun. I think, yeah.
Well,
and actually learn from your pioneers, or look up and learn what the best people in the world do, and try to emulate and learn from them, because it can speed up your process of learning if you're around people that are already doing that 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
That's my tip. Yeah.
Well, Franny, I'm super stoked for you, buddy. I've seen the hard work. I think we've all been there. I think it's amazing how you've been able to zig and zag to where you are now. And I know you had a little bit of an injury last year, but saw you out at Mavs getting back into it. And I look forward to seeing you back out in the lineup and sharing some waves this year. And thanks, man.
I look up to you as well. It's not only Shane Doran. I look up to you big time, because you're a guy that's put in his time and showed how the sport of big wave surfing can evolve and get better at. And you're still, you got to keep that young kid inside of you, but then you got this beautiful family and enjoying life and the small things in nature and simple things in nature can bring you a lot of joys. And there's not that much better than it, just enjoying the elements and family around. I think that's some of the best feelings in life.
Yeah, man. It's all balance. It's all a balance. And we got to be able to tap in and tap out of that mental space when we need to. And I think a big thing too is being able to switch off and relax and let your mind be free, and then be able to switch it back on. I think that's a big skill that people can learn as well. But man, I'm stoked for you, and look forward to seeing you in the lineup, buddy. And thanks for being on the late drop, brother.
Thanks, Jamie. Thanks to you. I'll see you in the water, brother.
You.